Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 90, titled Live Now or Save for Tomorrow. So about 8-9 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. So she had a situation where she was doing CrossFit and she was massaging some of her muscles in that area and in her armpit, and she noticed a lump. And one thing led to another, and we discovered that she had breast cancer. So during the first time of her breast cancer, her first bout with it, she had two, but during the first bout, she had a mastectomy, which is a removal of one of her breasts. And she also basically had a surgery to do that. And she changed her diet around. She did a lot of research on other things. And at that time, she chose not to do chemo and radiation. The cancer came back, and she did have chemotherapy and radiation at that time. And it was hard. Anyone who has a family member or personally who has been through that knows the toll it takes on a person's health, on their emotions, on the family. It was a hard, hard thing to go through for her especially, and really for the whole family. And thank goodness now, as we are at the final stages of 2022, she's doing really well and she's healthy and hasn't had any she's in remission and hasn't had any occurrences again, which is awesome. But during this time when she was battling with cancer and changing her diet and really trying to think of how she could take best care of herself, she thought a lot about life, and she wondered if cancer would take her life, and she wasn't sure kind of how things would shake out. And so we had a lot of talk about experiences. And during those times, right after her cancer, and during that time, she decided that she wanted to take our boys to Disneyland. And she took our two younger ones separately and together once as well. So I think, if I remember right, they did three different trips to Disneyland kind of during these years. And it was a time when she basically told me that, hey, if I happen to not be around, I want to be able to have these experiences while I'm healthy enough and when I can. And they had a wonderful time at Disneyland when they went and really, really enjoyed themselves. And I went for the first time this year, actually, back in April, we went as a family. And so this got me thinking, and I've been reading a book lately that I mentioned on last week's podcast called Die with Zero. And I want to talk a little bit about this concept of dying with zero and life experiences and saving and kind of how all this can work together for us. So many of you are familiar with the fable of the ant and the grasshopper. The ant spent all of his time working, saving, busy. And the grasshopper kind of lazed around and didn't do much of anything and wasn't really worried about the future. So we're going to talk a little bit about which one of those might be better, neither, both. What do we think? So I'm going to walk through some different concepts to think about in kind of answering this question for yourself, because in a lot of people I know, there's a lot of people who spend every dime they make. And then there's others who are miserly, others who are frugal and are very careful about spending any money, some who never go on family trips and just don't do that because they're too worried about their money, or maybe they can't because they don't have the money. So the kind of dilemma we have is, so like I've said on previous podcasts, when you save your money at an early age, it has a lot more time to compound. For example, a dollar for a 20-year-old compounds to $88 by the time they're 65. And so each dollar you invest is like you're investing $88 as a 20-year-old. So it's powerful. Even if if you invest as a teenager, it's even more powerful. And so according to that theory, it would make more sense to invest as much as you can, as early as you can, to give those dollars time to compound, which is true. So if you think about kind of, think about a triangle. And on one side is health, on one side is time, and on one side is money. And the shape of this triangle, kind of like we learn in geometry, the shape changes based on what age you are. For example, when you're a 20 to 30 year old, you have really good health typically, but you might not have as much time because you're in college, starting a new career, and you might not have as much money because you're just starting out. The shape of this triangle changes over time, and by the time you hit into your 60s and 70s, you have a lot more time and a lot more money, but maybe the health side of the triangle is less. So of all these three sides of the triangle, the side that is most important is your health. Because if you don't have your health, as you guys have probably seen with a lot of 80 plus year olds, they don't typically love to travel. They would rather stay home. Their knees are shaky, their foundation's a little shaky, they are worried about slipping and falling. It's a little harder to get in cars and to get on airplanes, so they're more likely to stay home than to go out and travel and do experiences. So while they have plenty of time typically and plenty of money often, they just don't have the health to be able to enjoy those experiences. So it's really important to keep this in mind about our health, because if we want to travel to Europe or backpack through Europe or go to South America, it might not be a trip that we want to put off until we're 70 or 80. That might be a trip to do in our 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s. So as you think about your health, it's really important that we kind of take charge of our health. We see it as our greatest resource and try to protect it, try to strengthen it. So as we age, especially, this is important. So like in our 20s, we can get away with staying up late typically and maybe not eating very well. But as we age and get older, it's really important to maintain a good exercise program, maintain a decent weight. Being overweight puts a lot of pressure on our joints and on our knees and on our hips. And it can really wear us down and cause us not to be able to enjoy experiences into the future. So taking good care of our health by eating good foods, by sleeping enough, by exercising, by avoiding harmful substances is wise in the present, but it also gives us an opportunity to be able to enjoy more experiences longer as we move into our later years. Economists have come up with kind of a strange theory. Some of them are saying that you should spend more of your money on experiences during your 20s and 30s and save for retirement in your 40s. They believe this because of this health issue, but also because we make more money typically in our 40s and 50s, and we have more disposable income to save at that time. While that theory might hold some water with some, it's difficult because we lose out on all those years of compounding where our dollars can work better for us during those early years. So it's a bit of a dilemma. So I really believe that, and this is with the question of how can we maintain the best life or the most satisfaction or the most contentment, most fulfillment in life. And one way to do that for most people, for many people, this doesn't apply to everybody, but it applies to many, is to invest in experiences rather than stuff or possessions or material possessions. So for example, we've heard of the term house poor, which is when someone overextends on their house, pouring a lot of their monthly income into their mortgage. And when it's all said and done, they don't have any money to go on any trips or do any experiences outside of the free ones. So they're kind of stuck with being house poor, which can really reduce the amount of happiness a person has or fulfillment. I talked last week about the memory dividend. So remember that as you build up positive memories by going on novel experiences in unique places, these experiences typically are really, really fun in the moment. They really have a profound, neat effect on the brain and on our psyches. But the cool thing is months and years later, we can still derive enjoyment from these memories through a memory dividend, which is by remembering what we had already done. And oftentimes memories will blossom over time, which makes this even cooler. So one thing we can do to help this memory dividend is to maybe capture some pictures of what we did while we're on the trip to be able to go back and look at those. That's one of my favorite things to do, is look at past pictures from past trips that we went on. So also one thing I would encourage you to do, if you haven't traveled much and it's something you're interested in doing, is make a list of the places you want to go. So this is really interesting. So after I did this, I was able to go to a lot more of the places that I wanted to go. While it was up in my head and not on paper, nothing really happened. But once I made that list of, I want to go to Italy, I want to go to Alaska, I want to go to Costa Rica, I want to go to the Oregon coast, I want to go to these different places. Once I started writing them down, those trips started to happen, interestingly enough. So yes, the goal is to maximize our life fulfillment over the course of our life, and while doing it responsibly. So there's a rule in retirement planning and investing called the 4% rule. It's a belief that was done on, some research was done, I think in the 90s, about how much can you withdraw from your portfolio during a 30-year retirement and not run out of money. So they've run all these simulations. And so they have figured that you are able to take out 4% of the total of your portfolio every year and then adjust it for inflation every year after. So if you had $1 million, you'd be able to take out $40,000 a year and then adjust it up for inflation, assuming inflation goes up in your retirement. And so this would make it so you would never run out of money. In most scenarios, you'd end up with a lot of money at the end to give to others. Now, a lot of retirement planners and financial advisors recommend people follow something like the 4% rule to avoid that one in a million catastrophe where you might run out of money. But I'm not a huge fan of the 4% rule. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a retirement guy. But in my mind, it's like, okay, why would you prepare for the one very improbable scenario and probably end up with millions of dollars at the end instead of spending a little more on experiences, spending a little more on others throughout your life? Because in America, at least, we have the Social Security system as a little bit of a backdrop to help. Like, for example, if we got low on our portfolio in our 80s, we would still have our Social Security income to cover our basic needs. So I don't love the 4% rule. I think in most situations, people can spend more than that, but a lot of people disagree with me. Some people think the 4% rule is too generous and it should be a 3.5% withdrawal rate. So if you have a person who follows the 4% rule and they keep all their principal, and by the time they die, they have as much money as they had when they started retirement. Let's say they had $1 million when they started retirement and they live off the 4% rule. So they spend $40,000 of that, but the market goes up, the market goes down. 7 or 8 out of 10, the market will go up. So let's say that portfolio maintained its value of $1 million and they die with $1 million. So one way to think of that is, well, yeah, that's awesome because, you know, the kids will get that money, which is nice. But another way to think about it is, well, that $1 million, let's say that person earned a nice salary of $100,000 a year. That's 10 years of life that was kind of wasted in a way because they saved that money and didn't spend it or give it. Because when the author in Die With Zero, he makes some interesting arguments, some of which I enjoy, some of which I disagree with. But one argument he makes is that a dead person can't be generous. So one thing he challenges people to do is, instead of having that $1 million sitting there when you die for your 60 to 70 year old children to inherit, is to give that money away along the path. Take your family on trips, have experiences, help your children with their education or maybe a down payment on their home, and be able to give that money as you go. He says, according to his research, that the optimal time when people, the peak utility of money is the ages of 26 to 35, when someone has just finished up their education, they may have some student loans, they're buying their first house, they're starting a family. So this is a time when maybe families who have millions sitting in the bank that they're just sitting on instead of using, maybe that could be a time when they could lend a hand and help their kids out a little bit. So as you, as a person is in this situation and they're able to spend some of this money on experiences, maybe take their family on experiences, or if they're able to maybe give some of the money away to their children or loved ones or grandchildren, then they are able to feel that satisfaction and happiness of seeing their kids enjoy that money and hopefully spend it wisely. So it pays for the person receiving it, but it also pays for the one giving it, and they're able to enjoy that. Whereas when they're dead, probably they can't do that. So let's see. So there's something to think about. So as you think about the activities that you engage in, and like people who, like some people like to maybe ski or rock climb or go camping or wakeboarding or mountain biking. These are activities that a lot of 20, 30, 40 year olds really enjoy. As you get into your 50s or maybe 60s, 70s, they're probably not going to be ripping down a mountain on a mountain bike, probably not doing as adventurous of skiing, or maybe not wanting to sleep on the ground camping. So there's certain activities that just are not going to be fun, and the enjoyment will be diminished with age and declining health. So it's important that when you are young and you have these things that you want to do, that you do not put them off and procrastinate. If you've had a dream to backpack through some South American countries or through Europe, and you, it's something you've always wanted to do, and it would require taking a couple months off to do it, maybe after college, that would be probably a great idea to do that, because you would have that memory for the rest of your life, and it would just be a wonderful, wonderful experience for you. So thinking about a lot of kind of wealthier Americans, some people have very robust retirement accounts with $3 million, $10 million sitting in there. And some people will even keep working when they have millions and millions of dollars saved up. And the question is, are you going to be happier or less anxious with $10 million versus $3 million? I would argue that maybe not. If you have $3 million, it should be adequate for most people to pay their expenses and their living costs through retirement. And so if you keep working and need more and more and more, you could be losing out on some of these valuable health years, or you can be doing other things. And so, and also the people who maybe have $10 million in their retirement accounts and are sitting on it and not kind of giving it to anyone because they figure, well, it's mine, I earned it, I'm going to keep it. I would challenge you, if any of you are listening to this podcast, consider maybe finding a plan of where you can let go of some of that and give some of that to maybe someone who really needs it for their college education, or someone who's just starting out getting married or needs a down payment on a house, or maybe someone who's having some health problems. And we've been the recipient of some of those wonderful, generous people in our lives. When my wife had cancer the two times, as you probably know, chemotherapy, medical costs, all the things she had to do, the surgeries, it cost us thousands and thousands of dollars, but there were a lot of people who stepped in and helped us financially, including a couple members of my own family. And so in this time, that, like I've talked about, we're going to do stem cell therapy for my son in Colombia for the stroke that he suffered. We've also had some people, some neighbors, some friends, and some family members give us some money to help us with that, which is so generous and awesome. And it's just such an application of this principle that I'm talking about. So remember, as you think about, okay, do I take advantage of this opportunity to have the one of the best powers in the world of compound interest help to, so I save more, I invest more when I'm young? Or do I spend and invest in memory dividends and experiences when I'm young? Well, my challenge to you would be find a way to do both. Like find a way to put some money away, find some money to invest in your Roth IRA, but also find some money, set aside some money to go on amazing experiences. We live in a beautiful world. There are so many cool places to go and explore. And there are just so many awesome things to do out in the world. So find an opportunity to step back from your job, step back and go do some of these things with your loved ones. We only get to live this life once. The challenge is to go out and love it and live it well. And that is what I have prepared for you guys today. I hope you're all doing awesome and have a great weekend. And remember, the simple life is a good life.